Do you have a dark curiosity? Follow and listen to Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is At Home Connecticut, hosted by Joey Burgoyne, highlighting events and happenings that are taking place in your home, Connecticut, on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Good morning and welcome to another episode of At Home in Connecticut. I'm your host, Joey Burgoyne, and joining me this morning is Greg Dancho. He's the zoo director for the Connecticut Beardsley Zoo down in Bridgeport. Now, we're all being, you know, socially distanced and accepting it, but animals, it's a little more difficult to tell that to animals, but the zoo has, you know, it closed for a little bit. They've reopened in June. You can go there. There are a few stipulations. We're going to get into that. But one of the things I wanted to, you know, thank you for coming on with me this morning, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Joey.
One of the, you know, we as humans know what to do. You know, there was all the talks of when this first started, were animals going to be impacted? You know, what are some of the precautions that you guys took at the zoo to keep the animals safe and healthy?
Well, one of the things that our animal care professionals do it's a daily work. It's the daily, their daily avocation is to make sure animals are kept healthy and happy. And when this occurred, basically their jobs did not change a whole heck of a lot, except for the fact that they started wearing masks and all day long at the zoo. They don't take the mask off at the zoo when they're working the animals, just in the off chance that they could give that disease to an animal. And we saw that happen at the Bronx Zoo, where a tiger, large felids, and a tiger especially did catch the COVID disease. So that really was the only major change. The other thing that they did was more enrichment. And so a lot of times the animals, when their guests are here, you become kind of the background. You know, it's not something that they really notice, but guests, they do notice when there's nobody there. And so after a while, you can see the animals kind of looking around going, what's happening? There's nobody here, nobody visiting, nobody, no noises, no smells. It kind of got a little mundane for them. So the animal care staff would then start do enrichment. And we do enrichment all the time, but they stepped it up a notch to make sure enrichment was being done on an almost constant basis, so the animals had something to think about and do and perform their natural behaviors, and also help the staff, too, to get their minds off of what was going on in the world. So it happens it worked out both for both of them. The interesting thing is that, especially when we've had some hot weather lately, I'll usually get a phone call that says, what do you do for the animals in the heat? How do you take care of the animals when it's so hot? So the analogy here with the COVID pandemic is that the animals know what to do. They kind of know what to do. They hunker down. They drink their water. They lay in the shade. They don't move around a lot. They make sure they eat well. So the animals naturally know how to weather the weather. The people I have to be concerned about is the animal care staff, because they're the ones that have to be constantly told, take it easy, slow down, and be safe yourself. So again, one of the biggest concerns we had here at the zoo was with the small staff we had, was if somebody developed the COVID, how would that impact the zoo? And if it did go through the facility, how would we be able to maintain the animals in the way we do it on a daily basis? So that really was a concern for us, and I think the staff really took that to heart, making sure that they social distance and they wore the masks and washed their hands more than they normally did. So again, that was we got through that in fine fashion. And now, as we're open to the public, we're asking our guests to be the same way. Make sure you wear your mask. Make sure you social distance. Make sure the hygiene is there. And this way, you stay safe, my staff stays safe, and the animals stay safe.
And you know, you reopened. It's not exactly the same as it was before this pandemic happened, but you're trying to do the best you can. And what are some of those things if people like me or my, you know, my family want to come down and visit the zoo?
Well, it's definitely a different world we live in right now. So the zoo, to come to the zoo, we don't have a ticket booth open at this point, so you just can't jump in the car and drive down. We do have our guests get on our website at beardsleyzoo.org to look at the procedures. You buy your tickets online. There are two sessions that we have. One is in the morning and one is in the afternoon. We're allowed right now with the guidelines 50% capacity. So it's 500 people in the morning and 500 people in the afternoon. So once we pass that plateau, we have to stop selling any tickets. So you get online, you buy your tickets, you come to the zoo, and it's paperless. You don't pass any money. You bought your tickets online. You walk through the gate. They look at your name. They look at their sheet, and you just go right on in. Social distancing, we're asking a lot at the zoo. Like I mentioned, we're keeping a one-way path through the zoo, so it's really a clockwise position. You get to go see all of the animal habitats, but you're staying in really in one line. This way we can try to keep that social distancing as much as possible going through. Some of the inside buildings are still not open. Our rainforest is not open as of yet. Our carousel is not open as of yet. Because of the logistics of opening up a building and keeping people safe and keeping that sanitary condition going. We do close down, like I said, the two sessions, we do close down at lunchtime to do a deep clean. So staff all goes out and cleans all surfaces. So for the next crew that comes in at 1 o'clock, everything has been sanitized at the zoo. And then they go back and we do it again at the end of the day. So the morning crew comes in and has that same, the guests that come in the morning have that same clean palate to come into the facility. Our cafe is open. You can buy food. You can buy ice cream, sodas, drinks. Again, doing it either by phone or, again, through with the plastic in front of the cashier. So you can buy food and then they will deliver to you outside. We don't have inside eating at this point. We do have our gift shop open, and at the gift shop, not the shop itself open, but there are outside vending area that all of our gifts that were inside are now outside, and you can purchase a souvenir or a toy for your children or something for yourself, possibly, outside, and again, doing it as safely as we possibly can.
That 1 hour gap between the sessions, can I buy tickets for both sessions?
Well, what you absolutely have to do then is you have to buy tickets in the morning and in the afternoon, but we're going to ask people to leave during the day and during that lunchtime. So you'd go out, get in your car, go for something lunch or buy a picnic and picnic in the parking lot, or maybe walk down into the park, which is a lot, you're allowed to do that. And yeah, you could do that. That would be no problem at all. And again, walking through the zoo, we're really hoping that we get to another phase that a lot of our inside buildings can open up and maybe we get away from the one-way path through the zoo. But again, I think the takeaway from a lot of this is people have to really knuckle down and stay within what the guidelines are being told us so we can get through this. Connecticut has been very fortunate, and I'm very, very happy that we can allow our guests into the zoo and do this right now. To me, the zoo is here for many, many reasons. We're here for education, is really my biggest thing for our guests. And so by having the zoo closed, that education kind of went away, except for all of the social distancing and virtual programs that we did during the closure. And we're still doing now because we really can't have summer camp and we can't have groups here to the zoo, camp groups coming to the zoo. So we're still doing a lot of virtual things. We had a lot of campers. We had Boy Scout camps coming to camp at the zoo. We really can't do that right now. So we're doing virtual campouts also. So a lot of that stuff is on our website. But to me, is keeping people safe so we can continue keeping the zoo open, don't go through another closure, which would be, I wouldn't say catastrophic, but would be very difficult for the zoo to maintain going forward if we had to close down again.
Now, are you hearing from the patrons that, they're complying with the rules because they understand now the little things, like just going to the zoo?
I think the majority of our guests understand why we're here and why it's important for us to go with the guidelines. And we do enforce that with loudspeaker announcements to remind people, please keep the masks on. We do have our volunteers are on site. And again, helping with education information and also helping to remind guests, please keep the mask on. And we know it's very difficult. We understand. My staff, again, comes in and they wear their masks when the time they walk, get out of their car, to the time to leave, except for eating, they keep that mask on because they know how important it is to maintain their safety and the safety of our animals and our guests. And that keeps the zoo going we're coming up on our 100th anniversary in 2022.
Well, congratulations on that.
And if anybody had said to me that we'd be going through this right now, I would have been incredulous. And so we want to make sure that we see our 100th anniversary in 2022. So we're going to make sure that we continue to do things as safe as possible.
And I want to get back to the animals for a little bit. Like you said, mm-hmm. You know, they did notice things were off a little bit. Have they bounced back? Like, you know, we all know when we come home, if we have a pet, the dog or the cat, well, you know, they're excited to see us. Can you really see the difference in the animals in just the past few weeks, a month and a half, do you guys have been back open?
I have. And it's been based both ways. One, the tigers and the leopards and our spider monkey habitat. You could definitely see that they're being a lot more active, looking at our guests, and especially with the tigers and leopards, looking at our smaller guests, because they're fun to watch and also maybe tasty too. Mm. But you can definitely see that with our cats. Our spider monkeys will also are watching the guests because they like people watching just as much as we like watching them. So we've seen that. Conversely, the prairie dogs, for the first week or two that were open, the prairie dogs would see people coming and they'd dive down the holes. You wouldn't see any prairie dogs because they're like, wait a minute, you know, we were having this wonderful time here, nobody around, and now all of a sudden these people are coming up, and it kind of freaked them out a little bit. So they stayed down underneath, and that lasted about a week, and now they could care less, and they're all up top. I think a lot of it had to do with their babies were being born at that time. That they kind of coincided. We opened up just as the babies were coming up, and I think the parents were a little bit more leery, but they have definitely gone back to doing what they normally do when our guests are here.
So I ask a lot of my guests this. I'll go back to a little quick story. Back when Catskill Game Farm was open, me and my wife went up there, and we got there early. The plan was to basically eat breakfast in the parking lot as the sun was coming up over the mountains and get in there early, because that's when a lot of the animals were being fed. So there's a lot of activity going on. You know, they're not used to people, but they're all out waiting for breakfast. Is there one hidden gem at the Connecticut Beardsley Zoo that you really want people to take away from visiting the zoo?
Well, that's an interesting question. There's so many things. And again, one of the things that we've been talking about for the last couple of years is our conservation programs with animals that are the most endangered species of animals on the planet. And we have them here. We have gray wolves, Mexican gray wolves, that are basically extinct in the wild where they are normally kept. Our red wolves, which have been extinct in the wild, were to be replaced back into their habitats from having breeding here at the zoo. We have offspring that have gone actually back to the wild. That's a great conservation story. And really the one that right now and you know, for this year and maybe next year is really important for us, is that for people to see our Amur leopard cubs, the two cubs that were born here at the zoo. They are the rarest cat on the planet, a large cat on the planet. There are maybe about 60 of them left in the wild, total on the entire planet, maybe 300 total on the entire planet right now under human care. And we have a melanistic cub that was born here, Callisto. Callisto is melanistic, is a black leopard. There are only two in the country right now, one in Bridgeport and one at San Diego Zoo. So if you wanted to see a black leopard, you know, you can only, if you're going to, and you can't fly, really fly, you can, but really difficult to do right now. But if you want to go to San Diego, you can see it. But if you want to see a black leopard, you come to Connecticut Beardsley Zoo and see one here. And those two cubs are so valuable to the population because they're so rare. This is something that I'm completely proud of, that our staff was able to have these cubs born. I mean, and the mother actually, we had to pull the cubs from the mom and hand rear them because she was actually licking them so much that she was doing damage to them. And so we were able to raise these cubs. And to me, that's a really exciting thing to see. And they're still acting like cubs. You know, they're still acting like we still have, there's a male is Orion, a female is Callisto, and they still will, just like siblings, will wrestle around and play. And like you said, sometimes the morning is the best time to come because it's cooler. They've been inside. They've come outside. They're having a good time in the cool morning air, and they're a little more active and a little more sociable at that time. So sometimes the morning is the best time to come. Actually, a lot of people come to the zoo right at noontime, right around 11 o'clock, and come at noon. In the summertime, that's the hottest part of the day. Mm. And like I said, that the animals will do what they want to do to make sure they maintain, you know, their own safety. They'll calm down, they'll rest, they'll sleep, you know. And so people come at lunchtime, walk around the zoo, why are all the animals sleeping? Well, you put a fur coat on at 90 degree temperatures, I think maybe you would want to be resting too. So sometimes, yeah, the morning and afternoon are probably the best sessions to come visit the zoo.
So see, you can head down to Bridgeport, the Beardsley Zoo, visit the website beardsleyzoo.org, get all the information. You have to buy your tickets online. Again, joining me this morning, Greg Dancho, the zoo director, Connecticut Beardsley Zoo. Like you said, in Connecticut, this tiny little state has this great zoo, and we're competing with San Diego. What can be better?
We love that. We love doing that.
You know,
anytime we could do that, we love it.
So again, joining me this morning, Greg Dancho, the zoo director of Connecticut's Beardsley Zoo down in Bridgeport. Great little zoo right here in our state. You can check them out, beardsleyzoo.org, and check out their Facebook page and Instagram. Some of the pictures are just phenomenal that they have up there. They'll get you interested in going. Again, you can check out their website, beardsleyzoo.org. Remember, great things happen at home in Connecticut.
You've been listening to At Home in Connecticut, a public service project produced by WTIC News Talk 1080.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer,
SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.